for knowledge beyond dreams. Discover That's the Way Love Goes, a collection of short stories by Mark Marcus. Go to thatsthewaylovegoes.net and let the dreams begin.
Bill Handel and the Morning Crew, March 26th on a Monday. All right, today's big day. Ooh, big day in front of the Supreme Court. It begins hearing arguments in the Obamacare case. Huge, huge case. Actually, the case being argued is the NFIB, National Federation of Individual Independent Businesses, versus Sebelius. Kathleen Sebelius, Health and Human Services. And it is challenging the constitutionality of the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. Does anybody even know? Does anybody even ever say the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act? I don't even know how you could figure that out with a pseudonym. PPACA. Pipa-ka. Okay. Oh, I so digress. Now, what is legitimate is, by the way, I knew it wasn't a pseudonym, just so you guys don't write in and scream at me. Some legal experts say this is the most important set of rulings since the justices reviewed the New Deal program 70 years ago, which gave extraordinary power to the federal government, expanded it before anybody or before anyone could imagine in the world of constitutional law. So why is this case so different? Because it is one of the bellwether cases. This is going to determine how far and how much power the government has. And it's going to extend it to a point where it's never been extended before if the judges uphold Obamacare. And that is, for the first time in the history of the United States, the government of the United States is forcing you to buy something. Just to let us know how important this is, the justices have granted 6 hours for more for arguments. 6 hours. Usually it's half an hour, with both sides arguing for half an hour. Thank you. Goodbye. We'll let you know what our decision is in a few months. 6 hours is the most time granted in any case since Brown versus Board of Education, 1954. Now, do you think that was an important case? Segregation was overturned. And right from the beginning, legal challenges were filed and were talked about. And it became law in 2010, and immediately the lawsuits were filed. Dozens of them have worked their way through the federal courts to become now 4 cases pending before the Supreme Court. Here's what the courts do, is you have dozens, sometimes hundreds of cases. Well, that's not hundreds, but at the outside, dozens or several cases going up through the various courts to figure out what the constitutionality is. The Supreme Court will choose one or choose a couple and say, this is the one we're going to hear, and this is the one that will be argued. Because it's the big picture. It's not the specifics of one case. The court is going to establish either a new precedent, a new interpretation of the Constitution, expand on interpretation of the Constitution, or simply say, doesn't go, that's it, we're done, old law stands. So the ruling expected in early this summer is going to come about 4 months before the voters decide whether or not to give Obama a second term. And then the politics of this gets kind of interesting. Because if Obamacare is upheld, does that mean that Obama gets some real oomph? If Obamacare is upheld, does that mean his detractors are even more dedicated to the election in favor of Romney? I don't think anybody knows. At least I don't. And every Republican candidate has spoken at length, countless campaign audiences, about wanting to repeal the law. I will repeal the law. Romney, who passed this law in Massachusetts, who has zero credibility when he talks about I'm going to repeal the law federally, because he comes up with some happy horse crap about how it's okay for the states to pass it, but the federal government can't, because it's not a model for the federal government. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And instead of standing up and being proud and saying, hey, you know what? It works in Massachusetts, certainly better than any other state in the country. We know it works. It should translate across the United States. So instead, he talks about what a huge mistake it was and how Obamacare shouldn't happen. And the first thing he is going to do, I mean, the first thing is repeal Obamacare. I think he even said, as his hand goes down from being sworn into the presidency, someone hands him a pen, and before it goes all the way down, he starts signing the repeal. Oh, stop it. Now, there's a recent Fox News survey. Most Americans, most voters want all of it or some of it repealed. It's 2,700 pages long. I don't know how many people have actually read it. I don't know who in the federal government has actually read it. 63% of independents want the law tossed. And the majority of them give Obama very poor marks for his handling of health care, just health care. Now, you know, I'm not going to get into my opinion of health care and how we need it. And I don't think very many people argue the system isn't completely broken, and it costs us more to pay for a completely broken system than any other country in the world. Nearly a fifth of the economy is tied to health care. A fifth. 20%. Now, so what happens this morning? What happens this morning? Well, it's not the big constitutional issues. There's first the basic legal question, and that is it too soon for the courts even to take up this law? Because the key part of the law, the requirement that everybody has to buy health insurance or pay a penalty, doesn't even take effect until 2014. And so, what the court is being asked to is decide a requirement that isn't required for another 2 years. And it's pretty easy for the court to say, you know what? When you have a problem, bring it up. There's no problem here. Not yet. General rule of law says, you know, you can't bring up something that you don't have a problem with. There's no case here. Also, we have, there's a federal law that actually goes back to, 1867 that also controls this. KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. 720, KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. Handle here. Oh, and it looks like the rain has stopped. I can see the clouds breaking up. That's good news. All right, back we go to the Obamacare hearing today in front of the Supreme Court. First of 3 days, and the first day, today, starts with a jurisdictional question. Have nothing to do with the constitutionality of Obamacare itself. It has to do with whether the court can even hear the case. And why is that? Because there is an 1867 law called the Anti-Injunction Act, which effectively says when you're attacking a tax, you have to pay the tax and then attack it. You can't preemptorily attack a tax before it's due. Effectively, this is a declaratory judgment. You just can't do it. This tax isn't due until 2014. Actually, it's probably not due until 2015. It's due on our income tax returns by April 2015. So the court really can't hear it until 2015 when people have actually paid the tax. Then you argue the constitutionality. But that's the first issue. And we don't know which way it's going to go on that one. Right now, the appeals court said that federal courts are forbidden for hearing challenges to the health care law. Now, the court, Supreme Court, can naturally say, you know what? We now hold that you can't attack this tax prior to it becoming due. Court can do anything it wants. And it may decide yes, not because it necessarily believes that, because it just wants to come to the issue at hand. It wants this case to be heard, and it wants to argue this case. No one knows. You can't read the justices. You know, there are people who make entire livings off of just trying to read the justices. And as a matter of fact, we should do a, there's a whole subject on that, a whole segment of what happens when someone, when a lawyer appears in front of the court and how the justices react. What kind of questions the justices throw out, when they throw it out, how loud the justices are, which way the justices you think are going to go. So that's the first thing. Then Tuesday, tomorrow, that's the ball game, because the justices take up the individual mandate, the requirement that we Americans have to buy insurance if we do not have it. Now, people are arguing that means the federal government is going to control insurance. It's not true, not under Obamacare. If you already have insurance, you know what? Keep your insurance. What, the government's going to take away your company insurance and then therefore they're going to control it? That's not the case at all. I love this. Death panels. Sarah Palin, death panels. Doctors are going to sit on a panel deciding whether you live or die, and it had nothing to do with that provision of Medicare. Zero, nothing. Yet let's, a bunch of doctors coming together is a death panel, giving you information about what choices you have. That's a death panel. So we're going to hear a lot of crap from people who hate Obamacare, and they're going to make stuff up. Just make it up. So the question is, can Congress force Americans to buy something? It's never been brought up. It's a case of first impression in front of the Supreme Court. 26 states, including a bunch of other people who are opposing this, for example, the business organization that is the lead plaintiff here, argue that Congress has zero power, no power under the Constitution to order people to buy anything. And if the law stands, Congress will have sweeping new authority to dictate our behavior, and Congress should not have that kind of authority. But here's the problem, is Congress already has sweeping authority to do some extraordinary things that never existed prior to the New Deal, when the Great Depression hit. And all of a sudden, there's a whole new world up there, and Congress was given insane powers relative to what it had before. So, is the Supreme Court ready to give or allow Congress to have these kinds of powers? And I think a lot would happen during the FDR era. We were in the middle of the Depression, and something had to give. I mean, we needed someone like the president, or a lot of people argue that they needed something like the president just to get us off this depression. You have to do something. And it's almost the case here. Our health system is so broken. It costs so much money that something major has to be done. And that is what Obama has done. Now you can disagree. I'd love to see other ideas. I really would, because I have yet to hear one that actually works. Savings plans, tax-deferred saving plan, or tax-exempt, or tax credits. Well, that means you're going to pay for the copay. But that means you still have to have insurance. If you don't have insurance, all the copay in the world isn't going to help you. Now, there are some provisions that everybody agrees with, and that is sell insurance across state lines, pre-existing conditions have to be tossed, no cap, lifetime cap put on insurance, $1 million usually. For those who have caps, those policies. You can go through $1 million with two bouts of cancer. So we'll see what happens. And if the individual mandate is unconstitutional, does that mean the entire law goes, or just that portion of the law? The mandate goes, everything else stands. So here is the concept. Insurance companies should cover more people for more ailments and reduce the costs associated with health care. And everybody should be included. That's it. It's designed to force insurance company to provide minimal essential coverage to all Americans, regardless of past medical histories, to charge premiums on a more equal basis to all customers, and somehow to balance the additional costs, which are enormous, And that's going to be 30% increase in premiums. And the way you balance it is everybody's got to buy. Because if everybody is covered, then no one's going to buy. See how that works? If you're an owner, I'm an owner of a business. I provide medical coverage for all my employees. They don't pay a dime for it. I provide it. Well, if all of a sudden I knew they were all going to be covered, guess what? I'm not buying it anymore. And if they knew they were going to be covered, guess what? They're not buying it anymore, and there's nobody left to pay for it. So if you force the issue, all of a sudden everybody has coverage. Does it cost more money? Yeah, pretty substantial more money. Is there ways to reduce the cost? Well, first of all, how the health system is simply run in this country is incredible. It's beyond stupid. It really is. So Obamacare passed both the houses, the House and the Senate, was sent to the White House for Obama's signature 2 years ago, and now we get to find out. It won't be till June we get to find out whether Obamacare has passed or not. And it's not just the medical part of it. It's the, well, it's almost incidental. It's the forcing Americans to deal with it. And I wish there was a better issue, because a total revamp of our medical system is so desperately needed, so insanely needed, that I find the arguments that are being made, it's the worst thing that could ever happen to America. It will destroy America. We will go communist. We will go socialist. It's just America will never be the same again. Yeah, I don't buy that. You know, America seems to do okay no matter what happens. No matter what president is in the White House, we still seem to do okay.